seated. I wasn't going to mention it, but since he called me Grandma Kathy, yes, Bridget and Dustin had their baby on Tuesday evening. All are doing well. You can take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of the things that I have the distinct honor and joy to do in our church is work with our outreach houses. And for those of you who may not know what that is some years we make it available to, usually it's young men and women who want to go somewhere for a year to preach Christ, to grow together in the things of God, to learn how to live His Word together. And I get to help work with them with jobs and housing and then throughout the year. And when Tom was talking, I was reminded of a couple of weeks ago. Some of you are very aware of that they were having a hard time getting jobs, quite a few of them. And Holly McCaw and I went one day and just prayed with her when several of them went in for an interview. They didn't know we were there. We were in the parking lot. And then afterwards we talked to them. And they were pretty discouraged because they'd been there for a month and a half. And they hadn't gotten, some of them had. But some of them hadn't, and they were just getting more and more discouraged and trying to, you know, fight for the word in their brains. And, yeah, God will meet our needs. And not today, I guess. You know, they had what they needed. They've had the abundance that they need. They can pay their rent. They have food to eat. But they were just, you know, getting more discouraged that, you know, why aren't we getting jobs? Because that's one of the things they have to do is work part-time. And so I was just praying for them, and then I went down and went around with them one day looking for work with them, and we prayed together and got into the Word together. And you know, I reminded them of a simple truth that if we resist the adversary, he will flee. And right now he's succeeding by just some guy saying you can't have a job at discouraging you. Laugh at his face. You know, is God going to take care of, you know, just giving them words to believe. And they were doing that with each other some, but together we decided this is it. This is done. Our Father is faithful. The adversary can throw whatever he wants our direction, but we're not budging. God is going to meet the need. Now, a couple of them got jobs that day. By the next day, all of them had jobs. What changed? You know, the adversary get, you know, oh, okay. And we started laughing when they'd go in and they'd come out and they'd have all these applications. Because what kept happening, they'd go in and they'd, oh, we'll take applications. We'll take applications. Well, they were getting, so they got stacks of applications. We don't want an application. We want a job. So we just started laughing. They'd come out with an application. Oh, they said they'd take your application. Great. And we would laugh together. And we just had a great time together looking for work like they had been. But the whole perspective changed, you know. And God is faithful. If we resist our adversary, he will flee. And what a joy to know those truths from the Word. I didn't do anything special besides remind them of the truths of the Word. And then, oh, yeah, you know. In 2 Corinthians is a great verse in God's Word in chapter 5, if you'll turn there. When a man believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God declares that he is not the same. He might look the same on the outside, but the Word of God declares that he is something totally different. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down in verse 17, we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, when he believes on Christ, the Word of God declares that he is a new creation. He's not the same old person he used to be. And it isn't always evident on the exterior at that point in time. But spiritually, things have changed. The book of Romans then goes into great detail explaining to that man, to you and to me, why he needed a Savior, what man was like without God, why he needed a Savior, who he now is because he's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what power, what authority, what he is as this new creation in Christ. And in Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn there, I think Tom made reference to quite a few verses we're going to today, but Romans gives us a great understanding of these truths about what it is to be a new creation in Christ. And then that man is told to in Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckoning is done up here in the mind, right? And that man who once was just dead in sins is told to reckon himself totally different. Dead to sins now and alive to who? God through Jesus Christ. He is a new creation in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3, please. You know, sometimes I wish I was more like Tina or some of these guys in the way they express their exuberance for what God has done. I'm me, but what an amazing truth that we are new creations in Christ. We don't have to be stuck living in dead sins the rest of our life. We have something totally brand new to look forward to each and every day. Our lives don't have to be the same day after day. What an amazing thing. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1 we read, "If ye then be risen with Christ," are you?
Yes.
Yep. "Then what does the word of God declare? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." The NIV reads, says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's a decision that we can make now. Before we were born again, before we believed on Christ, that's all we could think about. But now God exhorts us, come on, you're a new creation. Since you've been risen with Him, set your minds in a whole nother place, folks. Put your hearts on things above. Don't get caught up in the things to the left or to the right, the things of this earth. Put your mind somewhere else, on the things that I say you now are, on the things that are above. You know, we learn from Ephesians that in order to grow up into Christ, to grow up into what we now are as an individual and as a body, our hearts are involved. Both the prayers in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 talk about the heart. They deal with the heart. Ephesians 1 talks about the eyes of our heart being enlightened. That's something that God does. That the eyes of our heart are enlightened to the end that we may know. And you can read on in that. And the second one talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts. It does take God opening the eyes, but there are things that we can do to help our hearts be ready for that revealing, to be receptive to Christ dwelling in our hearts. We can prepare our hearts to be ready for the eyes of our heart to be enlightened, to be ready for Christ to dwell, to live there. In the Old Testament, if you'll turn to 2 Chronicles, please, there's a record. We're going to look at two different verses. I'm not going to go into the records or we'd be here all morning. You can look more in depth at these individuals. But there's two records of some men and what they did with their hearts. And it's very revealing, the fruit that abounded in their life as a result of it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, in verse 1 it says, I'll give you a minute to get there. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." Not a good thing to do, if you know anything about the Word of God. Go down to verse 14. This is still speaking of Rehoboam. "And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." That's a choice that each man can have. This king, this Rehoboam, chose not to adhere to the law, adhere to the word, and he chose not to prepare his heart to seek the Lord, and the fruit was what? He did evil, it says. Look at Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. have the books of the Bible. We'll have Bill and Sherry's fellowship. If you were at the coffee house, we'll have them come up and sing when we're trying to find books of the Bible. In Ezra chapter 7 is another man who chose to do something quite differently than Rehoboam. And in verse 10, it says, for Ezra had... Did I tell you what chapter? 7. Okay, chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You can read about Ezra's life and see that his life reflects what was in his heart. He does some good things for God, unlike Rehoboam, you know. Once we have believed on Christ, we truly are a new creation, and we are now able to live a life that can glorify God. Prior to that, we couldn't. We can glorify our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we have the ability to now live a life that glorifies Him, you know. One of the things that we have a little manual, a little booklet for the Outreach House. Now, those of you that were in the first year, we were still figuring things out, so you probably didn't have one of those. I think we did it the next year. And it's like 50 pages long. No, it's very short. It's 3-4 pages. It's not a lot. And with much prayer and consideration of what needed to be in it, there's some things that they are doing to help facilitate growth in their lives this year. One of the things, it's an outreach house. They preach Christ in the community. They don't preach their church. They don't preach their fellowship. I mean, they might invite someone to fellowship, but they preach Christ daily in the community. There's some other things. But one of the key things is that they spend a minimum of 1 hour, minimum, okay? They can go longer, but a minimum of an hour daily reading and studying God's word and praying. And that may not seem like much, but how many of you have tried to do that every day and succeeded every day of your life? Now, hopefully we laugh, but hopefully we've kind of moved on and are doing those things in our life. But one of the reasons it's a part of what they're to do, they're young, they're learning to build the word of God in their life. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, I've met Christians who are, you know, who think that by force of their will and self-discipline, they're going to be what God wants. They're going to think like God wants them to think. They're going to live like God wants, you know, and they're going to do it all on their own. I'm not talking like that. The eyes of the heart still have to be enlightened by God. But we can have hearts that are filled with His Word, that He has something to work with, that He can open the eyes of our heart because of what's there, that Christ can dwell in a heart that's holding the Word in His mind. And, you know, I've also met Christians, like many of you. Well, no, I should rephrase that. The ending part of this may not be like many of you, that are very well, very knowledgeable of the freedom we now have in Christ. They know they're righteous. They know they're loved of God. They know that no work can undo what Christ did for them. They're very, very knowledgeable of that. Unfortunately, many Christians in that category almost look at discipline, structure as being religious and legalistic. To take a man, a body and soul that has held dreams, aspirations, goals, morals, values, standards based upon things that change, ideas that change, to take a man who has held things dear in this heart and is convinced that they're right before he's known God, based upon, like I said, things that change, you know. How many, you know, we're all a living testimony of that. You know, at 16, you're sure you're going to do this. At 19, you might change. At 25, it might change. We change as we get more and more different information in there. To take a man who has held things in his heart as to be right and true and have him start living godly doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time. It takes more than memorizing a few verses when I'm tempted and throwing them out there. It's systematically building the word in our life to where God's ideas, God's thoughts are what govern my life. You know, and that's what they're, you know, one of the reasons that's one of the things they do in the outreach house. It takes time to get a scope of this word of God. You know, He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's got a bit of wisdom there that I don't have. You know, He's got a bit of understanding. I mean, you look at creation. How did he figure, take a pick, you know? How did he figure that this bug was going to feed this animal that would do this, that would do this, that would, and then the poop of that animal would do this for that tree? And I mean, who put that all together was God. And now we're sons of that God. And we think in a moment of time we're going to live like that and have that understanding and wisdom. No, how foolish. It takes taking his words, his thoughts, his ways, and putting them in the soul of a man for the life to change. Let me catch up with my notes here. You know, and unfortunately, when someone understands some of the truths of Romans and they don't take the time to hide this word in their heart, they get frustrated. Why isn't there more fruit in my life? Why isn't there peace and joy in my life? Perhaps you were lazy. Perhaps you had wrong ideas about how it was going to happen. But we can go to God's word and know how to build a life that is a glory to God, that bears much fruit. Turn to Psalm 119, please. You know, things that are deep-rooted in the soul of a man don't just change immediately. You know, I got born again when I was 16. I'm 55 now, and I'm sure there's a day or two I've missed, but I've been reading the Word of God for a while, and I still am surprised at values that I didn't know were there that are contrary to the Word. You know, when I'm childbirth is on my brain because I was there with Dustin and Bridget. But when I first had Hannah, I was under the impression, I really believed that a good Christian would have natural childbirth, no pain medicine, and would nurse their baby, or they weren't a good Christian. I held that to be true. And I failed miserably. And then I had to reevaluate some things in my life. But I, you know, honestly, it's what I'd been taught from somewhere. You know, there's things that we've been taught that we don't even know are contrary to the Word of God. We have to go humbly to His Word and let the light of the Word change things in our heart. Even things that we think we know are the Word of God, we'd be wise to go to the Word of God and make sure it's what His Word says. In Psalm 119, you're all there. I'll be there in a minute. It's a big one. Psalm 119 and verse 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." God's word gives light in those areas that are dark. And we all have them. I don't care how long you've known Christ, how long you've been reading the Bible. We all have corners of our life that we don't even know that the light of the Word hasn't touched yet. We have to go humbly to His Word to let the light of His Word get rid of that in our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, please. You know, for the longest time, I thought I was a pretty good Christian when I first got believed on Christ. You know, before someone shared with me about the gospel, like I said, I was 16. I'd gone to church my whole life, but the church I went to didn't really, we talked about Jesus Christ, but it was kind of like this fairy tale. It wasn't really real. And I didn't know that He was supposed to be my Savior and that He was supposed to be my Lord. That was never, maybe they told it, you know, taught it, and I just didn't hear it. But I finally heard it when I was 16 at a Young Life thing I went to. And I got born again, and I thought, well, you know, I live a pretty good life. I'm a good Christian. You know, now my little brother, who got born again similar to that time, he was really into drugs and really into, sorry, Luke, this was Luke's dad, who isn't alive anymore. He wasn't a good Christian. Now, from the word, we were both good Christians. Because I'm sorry, the completed work of Christ made us both good in God's sight, right? But I didn't have that understanding of the word. It took quite a few years for me to realize that if you're without God, without His Spirit, you don't have a good life. And you're not a good person. You might do nice things. You might be helpful. You might be courteous. You might not swear. You might do things that look what the world says are Christian. But without Christ, they're just things. I mean, you know, they were based upon something, whatever. I think I base a lot of what I did on, I don't want to be like him, honestly. When I saw the fruit in his life of misery, I thought, well, I won't go the drug route. I'll go another route. It takes the light of God's word in the soul of a man to honestly change the motives and the heart of a man. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 talks about this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine heart unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Do you get the sense of this? It's not just, you know, a cursory reading of these verses. We have to choose to receive the word of God. Other places in the word talk about that we're to receive it with meekness, with humbleness, to receive it as it is in truth, the word of God. We have to choose to receive it. We have to choose to hide it in our hearts. We have to choose to incline my ear, to stretch out my ear to this thing and not to the things of the world, to apply our heart. There's effort here, isn't there? It's not just something that happens. You can't just put on a CD of the Bible reading and expect that it's going to, you know, and go to sleep like something, and expect that your life's going to be transformed, that it's going to be changed, you know. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. These are things that we choose to do. We can choose to be people that cry after, I want to know the God of all creation. I want to know you. I want to understand your ways. I want the light of your word to just get rid of any darkness in my life. I want that to be what governs the direction my life takes. That your word has preeminence in my heart to the end that it changes how I choose to think and live my life. We cry after knowledge. We lift up our voice for understanding. God, open the eyes of my heart that I can see what your word says. If thou seekest her as silver, you know, how many people in the world, I don't have to point fingers, spend hours finding the right job or doing the right thing so they make the right income. They spend so many hours a day doing things. We're supposed to be seeking this right here, seeking our Father's heart and putting his wisdom and his thoughts, his understanding into our soul. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, you know. If I told you there was $1 million buried in the middle of the grass out there, you know, you might take a little time to go, like, get a little spade and dig it up a little bit, you know. No, we're supposed to do that with the Word of God. Then it says, if we do those things, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It doesn't come from the world, folks. It comes from him. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, it shall guard thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Man's in italics, I don't know. To deliver thee from the way of evil. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, it does something for a man. Wow, we know where to go, folks. We've got it right here. We can go to God's word with a heart desiring his word. You know, we can go to God's word knowing that we're going to get to know the God of all creation and understand his ways and his thoughts. How amazing. that wisdom can then enter into our heart because we choose to go to the God of all wisdom. We choose to hold His word in our heart. You know, Isaiah 55, you're pretty familiar with. It says that God's ways and thoughts are not like man's. It says they're much higher. So how foolish to think that a man who just believes on Jesus Christ all of a sudden is going to have that kind of thoughts and those kind of ways in his soul. It takes a building of that word in his heart for that wisdom to enter into the soul of a man. You know, Proverbs is very clear about what man is like naturally. It's a great book to look at. There's other places in the word too. You know, naturally, I'll look at a few of them. They're pretty good. Turn to Proverbs. I'll get to my next page here. Chapter 5. Just a page over there. What comes naturally to a man's heart when he doesn't choose to put God's thoughts in ways? We're pretty clear right here. Proverbs 5, verse 12, it says, "And say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised reproof." Not a good place to be. Chapter 6 and verse 14. Frowardness or perverseness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Chapter 12. I'm just giving you a couple of them. There's plenty more in here. Verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools, which is a man without God's word, proclaimeth what? Foolishness. Chapter 15. So the heart of a fool proclaims foolishness. That same heart does some other things. In chapter 15, there's a lot that talks about it when you're raising kids, but we won't go to all those. In verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. I left out one verse, 14 of chapter 15. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. In chapter 18, this is how man is without wisdom in his soul from God. This is how the natural man is before he's believed on Christ. In chapter 18, verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding. You ever talk to someone and they just think you're nuts because of the way you think and live your life? This is why, folks. Okay, they don't delight in the understanding that you have from God's word. And then I love the last part of the verse. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. How the world loves that, you know. I just got to find myself. Good luck. Go to Genesis. You'll find yourself. This is the nature of man. Go to Romans 1. Proverbs 28. Oh, I left out another one. Yeah, let's go to 19 first, okay? Proverbs 19, in verse 3, it says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." NIV says his heart rages against the Lord. You ever met someone like that? I have. They don't really want to know about God at that point. But, you know, if a man chooses to believe on Christ, it can change. In chapter 28, this is the last one we'll look at, the negatives. There's some good ones too, but we'll look at the negatives right now. In verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You know. So where does that leave the teaching of the world that we're to follow our heart? Your heart will lead you. You know. Some of you have tried that. It didn't really lead you in a really good spot sometimes. You know, you trusted somebody, you were scammed by somebody, you committed your life to somebody who didn't know God and didn't know his word and didn't stay committed to you for very long, you know. If we cannot trust our hearts, you know, as we may have thought. We may have some work to do to make sure what's in those hearts is sound, that it lines up with God's word. You know, no area of my life should be off limits to the light of God's word. No little corner that I don't let believers know about, I don't let God into. No area of my life should be off limits to God's word, to allowing the light of God's word to come in, you know. I was talking with someone and we were joking about how, you know, you can talk to people about things in their life, but, you know, don't talk to them about their kids or their marriage or their money. Well, no. Those are all up for grabs. I'm sorry, you know. If I hide pockets of my life from the word of God because I like living the way I live, God's not going to, you know, bang the door down. I have to choose to humbly go to his word and let the light of his word in. Turn to Psalm 119. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but it's enough for now. Psalm 119, great psalm on the word of God. You're pretty familiar with probably most of these verses I'm going to. So we won't read them. No, I'm kidding. Psalm 119. The cool thing about God's word, you can read the same verse you've read for 30 years and all of a sudden, poosh, the eyes of the understanding get enlightened and it's totally different. I don't know how God figures that one out, but it's just amazing. It never gets boring. I'm never going to exhaust this book. I can read a novel and throw it away when I'm done. But man, this book, I don't get it all the first time through, you know. It doesn't get in my soul the first time through. I know that much. Psalm 119 and 11 is probably one of the first verses I memorized after I believed on Christ. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. God's word hidden in the heart allows a man to live his life differently. You know, that word for hidden is used of when Moses' parents hid him as a baby for 3 months, so that the Pharaoh and his guys wouldn't kill him. They hid that infant. And that was just kind of a haphazard. I'll just stick him in the... No, there was some planning. There was some thought. How to hide a baby from people that wanted to kill him. I'm sure that they put a little effort into hiding that child. What about effort at hiding God's word in our heart? There is to be effort. There is to be planning. There is to be thinking through, how am I going to build this word of God in my heart? How am I going to build God's ways into a soul that never had it before? Some planning has to occur. It's not just memorizing a verse. Those are good. I'm not saying don't memorize verses. And when you're tempted, bring them up. That's fine. But to have God's ways become my ways, when my ways have been so contrary to his ways, more than I even if I don't think that they were, like I did before, remember, takes putting the word of God into my soul, into your soul. And we're to hide it there. We're to put forth a diligent effort to do that. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, please. In verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. We are to keep, we are to guard our hearts. Why do you guard something? If you have a diamond ring that's very precious to you, and you just set it on the counter at Kroger's where you go grocery shopping, right? No, usually you keep it on your finger if you're a woman, or you leave it at home. What's a better example? If you have $1 million, you don't just throw it in the front yard. You know, you keep it somewhere safe. Perhaps you even have a safe. Perhaps you put it in a bank where it can be locked up. You know, you guard something because it needs to be guarded, first of all. Maybe it's worth guarding. Now, maybe you're a prisoner. You want to guard someone from getting out. But we're to guard our hearts. We're to be aware of what we're keeping in, what we're allowing in. and to keep from what's good going out. We're to guard our hearts, the Word of God says. And how are we to guard them? With all diligence. This word for diligence is used elsewhere in the Word. It's translated like a prison where someone is. It's translated in Nehemiah as the watch that they had when they were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. The word for watch is this word diligence. They had a watch day and night so that the enemies couldn't destroy what they were doing. That's the word God uses for how we're to guard our hearts, with that kind of diligence. There is some effort involved in that kind of guarding, folks. It's not just I read a verse and go about and live in the world and don't think about, you know. No, we guard what's there. It's precious. It's more precious than any diamond, than any money, than anything we've ever had in our life. We are to guard our hearts with that same diligence. Why? Because it's the Word of God, and also the verse says, for out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. We're to guard our heart because out of it are the issues of life. The word for issues has a different meaning today maybe than it did back then. When we talk about an issue, we might be talking about our newsletter out front, right? That's an issue of the newsletter or a newspaper or a magazine. When God's word talks about issues, the root word of this is the word used of when Moses hit the rock and water issued forth, sprung forth out of the rock. It's what comes out. It's what comes out. The specific word used here is a word I don't totally understand how it's used, but it's used mainly in Joshua and in the Old Testament for describing the boundaries and the borders of the lands. It's not like the actual word for border, but it'll be like, you know, here's Abby, from Abby to Joy Lynn. You go forth from there to there, and then you go from here. It's the going forth. And it's used almost always in describe, helping to define the borders, the exits, the entrances, the lines of the land. So hear God's word. How cool is this? We are to guard our hearts with great diligence, because out of those hearts spring the issues of life. What comes out of our heart determines the kind of life we're going to have. You know, the Word of God says from the heart, believing comes from the heart. It says that doubt comes from the heart. Anxiety can come from the heart. Rebellion can come from the heart. Those are issues that spring forth from the heart. What an important thing that we have to guard God's Word in there. You know, if I'm not happy with my life and the issues, what's in my life, I know what to do about it now. I just don't need to sit on a couch and be moaning and groaning and depressed because my life is awful. I have answers. Oh, if the fruit of my life is, I can do something different. I can put His word in my soul and have the fruit of my life change. How amazing. NIV says it's the wellspring of life, which is kind of a neat way to look at it, you know. What is evidenced in a man's life springs from his heart. That's why it's so important that we guard what we're putting in our heart, what we're keeping in our heart. Proverbs 27. In verse 19 it says, as in water face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Maybe that doesn't communicate to you. NIV maybe makes it a little clearer. As water reflects a face, you look in the pond and you see your face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Pretty cool. It says it pretty clearly, you know. Proverbs 16:9 says that a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his step. A man's heart can come up with all kinds of things. But only God and His Word can truly establish, direct the steps of a man. That's why we hide His Word, you know. The heart is on the inside, the issues are on the outside, you know, and the heart's beyond my control. So it's just hopeless. No, we see clearly from the Word of God. We can choose to hide His Word in our heart and have our lives change, you know. We can choose what's going into this heart so that what's coming out is godly fruit. We can choose to have a heart that's ready for the eyes of the heart to be enlightened, that's ready for Christ to dwell richly in that heart. Go back to Proverbs 4, please. In verse 20, we'll read the context of that verse 23 about keeping thy heart. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from my eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Keep them right there in the middle there, folks, you know. Keep them in the middle of thine heart. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." See, we are to keep God's word with all diligence in our heart. Other influences are to be guarded and kept out. We're to keep God's word in there. God's word is to be hidden and kept, guarded in our lives if we want to live lives that glorify Him, if we want to live lives that exemplify the new creation we now are in Christ, you know. And you might be saying, of course I want God's word in my heart. Yeah, I agree with that, you know. But it's really, really more difficult than you think sometimes to let the light of God's word in there. It has to be a deliberate choice that I make to humble myself to God's word, to let the light of the word come in all those little cracks and crevices that I don't want it into, you know. To let the light of the word of God examine what's in my soul. You know, how do I know it? Is it really what God's word says? And like I said, in every facet of life, you know, jobs, money, houses, family, kids, how I raise them, how I have them, in our marriages, do we treat our spouses according to the word or according to what we think is right? Do we know? Do we even know? Do we know where we're going in our marriages? You know, husbands, you're to lead your wives. Where are you leading them? You know, down to the corner store for a beer, are you leading them in the ways of God? I'm just being facetious, but honestly, this is our life we're talking about. We don't just get up out of bed and roll around the world today. We're supposed to hide His word in our heart and make conscious decisions as to how we're going to live our life this day. We're making conscious decisions to hide His word in our heart so that our lives can glorify the God who gave His only Son for us. It's a choice we can make now. We couldn't even do it before. Now we have the great joy of being able to do that, you know. You know, raising our kids, you know, good Christian kids. I've heard this. They play sports. I mean, really, I've heard this, you know. Good Christian kids play sports. And they... Where's that in the Bible? I'm not saying it's wrong to play sports, you know. They always do this and this and this. Good, you know, you've had people tell you, well, that's not very Christian. Like, how do you know? Do you know what the word says? You know? They don't know the Christ we know who turned the tables in the temple, you know? Good Christian kids do what? Do I know? Do I know where I'm leading my children? Or am I just demanding obedience because I know one verse? Do I know that I'm after their heart, and where am I taking that heart? Am I leading them towards God, towards a reverence and a love for God Almighty who gave His Son for them? Do I know? Do I go to the Word to find out? I should. I should, you know. My kids know I made some mistakes, and if I had to do it over again, I think we'd do a better job today than we did, but oh well, you know. You know, family values and standards. Where do those come from? It's always right when you get older to take care of your parents, to move them in with you. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Do you know what the word says? Have you gone to your father on bended knee for his advice, for his counsel, for his wisdom, for your life and your parents? You know, or I just kind of roll with what I think is right. You know, we make decisions many times so haphazardly, and they affect our lives. We're supposed to, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths. That isn't just a quick, hey God, I'm going about my day now. It's going on bended knee with a humble heart to His word and allowing His word to saturate my heart to where it helps govern where I go in my life. It's going on in prayer many times just for His counsel, for His wisdom as to what I should do in my life instead of just pulling myself up by my bootstraps and living my life the way I know I'm supposed to, you know. I'm supposed to, you know, when you first get married, you're supposed to have a house, you're supposed to have this many kids, you're supposed... Where do these things come from? You know, but they're values sometimes that are so ingrained we don't even know where they came from. We can go to God's word and let the light of God's word change what we hold in our hearts. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, please. You know, We can come to God's Word humbly and let it teach us. Not going to God's Word with preconceived ideas to find the verses that substantiate what I want to believe. You understand that? That's different. You know, I already have my mind made up as to what's right, so I go to God's Word to prove it. How many of you teenagers have done that? I did. I could find a verse to show that my parents were wrong. My motive might not have been very pure. And they didn't listen for some reason. That would be handling the Word of God kind of deceitfully. No, deceitfully. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Efforts required, folks. Efforts required. Discipline is required. That's a bad word for many people, but it's not supposed. It's not religious. It takes planning to work a job. You got to set your alarm and get up and go, or you don't get the paycheck. It takes planning to hide God's word into our heart. But we can do that. We can hide God's word in our heart. There's nothing haphazard about putting his word in our heart. That's one reason it's so exciting to me to work with these Outreach House guys, because it's set up in their schedule. This is part of what they have, like four things they have to do every day. It's very simple. I'm going to hide God's word in my heart today. I'm going to read his word today. I'm going to pray. It sounds really simplistic, and yet sometimes days, weeks go by when we don't put forth the effort required to build the word in our heart, you know. It doesn't just happen to some and not to others. You know, you can look at a believer who has great fruit in their life. It didn't just happen. It's because they made a conscious decision to hide this word in there. And then when we get it in there, we're to guard it. We're to keep it. Then the issues of our life will reflect the change that's gone on the inside. And there's great fruit and benefit. We'll look at a couple more verses. You guys hanging in there okay? Psalm 37. There's great benefit to our hearts and lives when we do this. Psalm 37, verse 31. It says, "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slip, shall slide." Psalm 84. Verse 5. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in himself." No, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. It says it's just the ways, though. In whose heart are God's ways? Psalm 112. Well, it's not Psalm 112. 119. There we go. Oh, wait, no. 112:7. Sorry. I read another one. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. His heart is established, trusting in the Lord." See? He doesn't get concerned with the evil stuff around. Because why? His heart is settled. It's fixed. It's established in God's ways, in God's word. 119. Two more verses we're going to look at before we close here. Psalm 119 and verse 2. It says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." You want to be blessed? Seek him with the whole heart. Seek his word. Seek his ways. Seek his thoughts with the whole heart. Hide his word in your heart. Guard it. Keep it. And then what comes forth out of your heart will be a life that glorifies the God of all creation. How amazing. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, how exciting to be alive in a time where we have the Word of God, where we have His Spirit, and we can choose to let the light of God's Word change our lives to the end that we can glorify that God of all creation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how truly thankful we are that you are such a loving God, that you would so choose a people like us to place your Spirit within, that you would so love that you would give your Son so we could believe on him and have lives that can glorify you. Thank you for having given us your word, and that we just don't take it for granted. That we remember it is a treasure to be sought daily, moment by moment, Father. And it's not discouraging to go to your word, Father, even though we don't change automatically, that we know that as we go faithfully to your word, you will open the eyes of our heart, that Christ can dwell in us richly. Thank you, Father, that you are such an amazing God in your provision and care for us. We praise you and give you the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's close with a song of prayer to our Father, number 82. Oh, Heavenly Father, number 82.
Bless you.